are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
I think we can do that, yes.
Because I really, I mean, this sermon this past Sunday was, I don't know about you guys, it was really good.
It really, it's like so amazing. It's like such a, I don't even want to share what I'm going to be sharing. I mean, my gosh, yeah. It's so, so good. It's yeah. Like.
You don't want to share what
you're going to share it. I'm not going to.
Not right.
Well, it's just
so good. You're not even going to share. You're going to keep it to yourself so nobody else can have it.
Anyway. Oh my God! Sorry, no, sorry. I didn't complete the phrasing. The phrasing that to be completed was I was going to save it for the podcast, but really the concise thing is that it's like. One of my favorite sermons, like if not my favorite sermon that I've heard from Pastor Jim. And yeah, it's just and it's perfect timing too. And that's also what I'm gonna mention on the podcast. What?
I think that's intentional.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, yep. Indeed. Yeah, you know, God has perfect timing.
Yes.
And you know, Pastor Jim tries to work with God in his sermons.
He's yep. in the God business.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Probably more the people business, but
the God business, that. The people business.
Well,
hey, Jessica and Tim.
Hey, Beth, it's good to see you.
Hey, Jessica and Beth.
Ew.
I guess we're starting now. We didn't even say we were going to start. We're starting now.
I could tell Jessica was about to be like, okay, let's start. So I was just like, hey, Jessica.
You know what? You know me way too well.
Yeah, it's like we have an impression that we're going to start. And then we find out that impression was correct or not correct. We just decide to go enthusiastically, oh, hey. And then hey. We know that we're starting. It's
yeah, we
it's
don't
excellent.
Just log on and then just go straight into the podcast. There's probably like 10 or 20 minutes of tomfoolery that probably doesn't need to happen, but it's only been 4 minutes this time. So
yeah. Yeah. This is a 4 minute podcast. Well, wait, no, it's a four minutes for the intro. No, it's actually not even 4 minutes for the intro. It's 4 minutes for the, before the intro.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I can jump in here really quick, kind of like a frog on a lily pad. So I do have some important updates. So I don't know exactly where I left it as far as like what I'm going to share. Maybe there's some indication of what I'm going to share right now. And basically, I've been trying to figure out why I've been feeling kind of uncomfortable and tense lately. It's been sort of a journey, I would say. And I'm not sure what triggered this, but at some point I figured out that I was feeling overstimulated. And it was just a random insight that came to me. I'm like, okay, so I feel overstimulated. What can I do about this? And I'm like thinking, okay, maybe I could just like do nothing or something. But by chance, I stumbled upon this YouTube video that talked about the idea of boring breaks. And so basically, you're just like legitimately doing nothing on a break. Instead of getting out your phone or looking at a book or occupying your attention in some way to entertain yourself or reward yourself, you like specifically decide to do nothing and be bored, like, and just feel that little bit of discomfort from doing so. And I thought this is very intriguing. And not too long after that, just a few minutes later, I saw another video where this person decided to do a screen-free day. Like she didn't have any screens in front of her or anything like that. And I thought that was very fascinating. It was kind of a therapeutic video, honestly. And so this triggered the insight for me that I don't think it's screens and I don't think it's stimulation that I should be focusing on. I think it's I need to take a break sometimes from all rewards, because it's just too confusing to think about like, oh, I'm taking a break from screens. And then you're just like doing other stuff that maybe you didn't necessarily want to be doing. But if I take a break from all rewards, then like it just makes sense. And so I started doing that the last like few days or whatever. And I've just felt so much more at peace and relaxed. And like, I'm kind of taking it like slow with everything that I'm doing in a way where like I'm doing things more deliberately and I'm having more enjoyment in my life now. So it's just like, it seems so obvious now. Like, I guess one thing was, I guess I was obligating myself to always seek out rewards, because people were like, oh, look at this new game, or look at this new like anime, or look at this new show. Like, oh, hey, I sent you this video, maybe you could watch it. Like, it's just bombarding us with all this rewarding content. And of course, we just have to experience all of it, because, you know, FOMO, like fear of missing out. We just have to experience all of it. And so I kind of just wired myself into a sense of obligation where I needed to seek out all the rewards without any breaks. And so now, you know, I've just taken breaks from those rewards and I'm feeling much better. So that's a big positive. And then I'm trying to like continue to crack the code, so to speak, when it comes to my ADHD or my ADHD tendencies or focusing issues and stuff like that. And I'm like, maybe it has a lot to do with decision making. And so earlier today, I was thinking maybe I should actually read a book on this. So I happened to pick up from Goodwill this book called First Things First. And I told my mom that I was thinking about reading First Things First. And she was like, oh, well, I guess you didn't make the first thing to read First Things First. Because I guess it's not the first time that she heard me say that before, but I'm really determined to read this book now. And I read the intro, and it basically is like a kind of turn it upside down when it comes to time management, and giving you instead of a clock, it has a chapter called Compass Over Clock or something like that. And so basically you want to change your principles in regards to time, so that you can like do the first things first, or do the important things instead of always focusing on the urgent things. So I should have an update for you all in the podcast here next week. I'm really determined to read that book now. So that's what I got from my update.
It probably only takes a week to get your whole life figured out anyway. So
yeah, I think so.
Hearing about how your life has changed all the ways for the better by having finished that book. By next week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
If it doesn't work by next week, it's clearly not working.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Indeed.
All plans immediately and try something else.
Yeah. I think that's the average.
I feel like I do that. Like, actually, I do that. Like, if it didn't work out in a week, then if it didn't work out in a week, I just give up on the idea. Apparently, I don't know if this is like a thing that ends up happening on this podcast, but I don't know. No, we'll see, though. I think it'll be good. But thanks for giving me that observation that could happen. You know,
so. I'm only speaking from my own personal experience, Tim. And it's not even because I'm like, I'm going to give this a week. It's just that by the time a week has passed, I've already lost interest in the thing that I said I'd try.
Right. Right.
And it's not because it didn't work. It's because I didn't give it enough of a try for it to even give it a chance to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe you were expecting something else in regards to it working. And then like, it was totally like the wrong thing for you to even think what that was going to work. And so then it just didn't work, or any number of reasons why it didn't work, but not the cut and dry, like it didn't work because you actually read the whole thing and find out that it didn't work.
Uh-huh. It's more so it didn't work because
I didn't work.
I didn't work.
Yeah. Because they say yeah, it works if you work it. I believe that's what the alcoholics say. But I feel that works with everything, though. You know, everything only works if you work it. And I think that's even with our faith. Like, we can't just pray for God and then wait for him to deliver gifts to our door. We have to also put in the work, too. We have to meet him halfway.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's also like, you know, in the words of Missy Elliott, put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Reverse it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, the flipping and reversing it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like my leapfrog analogy, talking about the lily pad, you know, flipping and reversing frogs on the lily pad. You know, like it's kind of like breakdancing or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah. just like that.
Have you tried to breakdance on a lily pad?
Anyway. Yeah, I just thought of like a trampoline. So you got like the lily pad and you fall in the water, or you try to do the breakdancing on the trampoline and like you just fall off the trampoline or something. I mean,
don't let your kid fall off a trampoline, Jessica.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good point. See, words of advice.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have a trampoline because I feel like the winds get so bad. They would just in our neighbor's house, like, we have a tiny trampoline, but that's for our goats.
Oh. Definitely don't put your newborn baby on a trampoline.
You know, we were going to add that to the registry, but we'll have to take that off.
Yeah, take it off.
Okay.
Speaking of your newborn baby, how are things?
You didn't have your baby, everything going?
It doesn't sound like you've had it, but
you're right. That would be great if I've already had it.
Actually, I know. This is the worst time of pregnancy. Like, so close, but not close enough.
I know. And it's like, you know, this past week, you know, we had our monthly check-in. I guess I'll just go ahead and do my 5 minutes. We had our, you know, monthly check-in, and she was like, okay, so we're getting towards, you know, we're going to have to start scheduling things every 2 weeks now because we're 8 weeks out. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Wow.
Anyways, but to be completely just kind of transparent, it was probably one of the scarier appointments because she brought up, you know, at this point, you know, everything's good. Like, we're continuing to monitor like the size of the baby because during our anatomy scan, like the anatomy scan was good. Like, baby's projected to be a good size. But it was like, I think the 35 percentile, which is like, well, I am only 5'2". Maybe this is not going to be a very big baby, which I'd be totally cool with, but they just want to make sure that there's also no signs of like potential preeclampsia stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's terrifying to me. Because even her mentioning, we, you know, just want to monitor, any, random increases of weight gain, because that's something with preeclampsia is that like, you have like sudden weight gain. Mm-hmm. And, one of the bigger things is like headaches, and I haven't had headaches. Nothing, you know, in terms of that. I started experiencing my feet swelling, which is a very normal thing
mm-hmm.
for women in their third trimester. It's like,
wow.
It is a thing. But it's also a sign, like an early symptom of preeclampsia. So I'm like, okay, I know she was just kind of giving me information, but I obviously spoke to Dr. Google and was like,
oh no, not Dr. Google.
Dr. Google.
And I was literally like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a C-section. I'm going to like, and the thing is like, I'm totally overanalyzing, totally going down into the well of
Whoa.
Craziness. And so,
And then I was like, we really need to get our go bag finalized because we keep changing it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I want an aromatherapy thing in there. Maybe I do want chewing gum. Maybe I want my own socks with rubber pads on the bottom.
Wow.
Anyways, because those are all things that they recommend.
Water.
I like the rubber socks idea.
But at first, when you said go bag, I thought you were talking about a bag in case there's a fire. And I was like, I hope there's not a fire when Jessica and Amber. Oh, it's their hospital go bag?
Okay. Whoa. Yes. Okay. It might be,
you know, close to similar items. I think with our bag, we may not pack as many diapers if there were a fire.
Like, a little bit more water, probably.
A little bit more water. Maybe not just socks.
Maybe some chickens.
Right. Which, you know what? That Hughes fire got really close the other
week. Yeah.
Crazy. I was like, please no, please no.
Yeah.
It like downpoured snow over here. So I don't know if you guys got snow at all in your area.
I live on the west side of Lancaster, mm-hmm. near In-N-Out.
Yeah.
And we did not see snow, but when I drove to the office today and passed Costco, yes. they had snow. I don't live that far away from Costco.
What? Really?
I'm talking in your update.
Listen, guys, there was snow outside. I walked outside and literally front yard was just like covered, and I had to go outside and knock all the snow off of like the bird netting. And then by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I took another picture and it was like gone. So basically
it's like a dream.
It's going to turn into ice. It's all just going to turn into ice tonight is like literally what's going to happen. So
yeah, you know, that sounds quite comprehensible, you know, everybody just turning into ice.
Yeah. But other than that, my mom's flying in Thursday night.
Wonderful.
She is going to be putting on our baby shower for us on Sunday, which we're very excited about, and hoping we can see a good amount of people there to just kind of like, honestly, it's just gonna be like a big party. The Gentry family will be there
to be invited to go.
Well, everybody was invited at the church. Yes,
I understand that, but today I was talking to Miriam about your baby shower and she was like, I wasn't invited. And I was like,
she was
invited.
Yeah.
And so she's like, has it been advertised? Yeah, at the service. But she doesn't go to service because she actually attends her worship service at the church across the street and out on Sundays with childcare. So I've let her know that.
Yeah, Miriam is totally invited. I mean, anybody that steps foot into the church is invited. So
yeah, like that's so cool.
Literally, it's because I don't know. We've had a lot of people who have been really excited for us. And so we're like, well, let's open it to everybody. Like,
You know, for sure.
So we're pretty pumped about it.
And people will know where the venue is.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. It'll be very easy for people to find parking at this location. Yeah.
It's a real cute spot.
Cute spot has pictures of Jesus everywhere. So everybody should feel safe.
Everywhere.
Yep. Indeed. There's no bouncers or anything like that. It's
Jesus is my bouncer.
Yeah. Jesus is the bouncer. Totally. You know.
And not only that, but technically you really don't even have, like, I know people feel obligated to bring something for us, like to a baby shower, but like, you don't have to. Like, if you just want to come there and just say congratulations or just want a few cupcakes to take with you, I don't care.
Is there going
to
be cookies?
You know what? I don't know. We have some things in mind that I know that we're going to do. I can honestly say they are not cookies.
I don't even want to say that word after.
I will always say it on your behalf, Tim.
I mean, I think at this point, if we did bring cookies, we'd have to like put one of those dog things on Tim to make sure that he doesn't cause any more toothaches.
Or get Tim microchipped. Step one.
Yeah.
Get Tim microchipped. Step two, buy one of those fancy cat food or dog food things that only feeds you if your microchip goes up to said feeder.
Put that. Do they make those?
Yeah, they do.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Yep.
Wait, really? Wow.
For like multiple animals for the same feeder?
So you have to get, I think, as I understand it, I think it works for two pets, but okay. If you have like more than two, then you need to get a second feeder. Cause I was, I was looking into it for my cat who, she's passed away now, but she had the diabetes and was always eating the food she shouldn't. And so I was trying to, what we could do for her, but
that's cool that they make those.
Mm-hmm.
So it like prevents them from eating based on their microchip.
Yeah, because most of the animals in my house are good with free feeding, or at least they would be. But my dog Jovi would just eat all day if we let her. And
my cat Marley, she could put down some dry food.
Mm-hmm.
But we got an automatic feeder that only goes off a certain amount of time. It's like every 3 hours it goes off, but except for like. Not from between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. it doesn't go off. Otherwise, we'd lose our minds. But but I record a message and then they run to it every time they.
But
I like the idea of there being like a microchip instead, and then it comes.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That is really interesting. There are like two bits of technology I had no idea about. Wow, I'm gonna have to buy one of these.
Any form of automation is awesome, Tim. Like have automatic waters for our chickens, so it automatically refills water from the hose. We have automatic doors on the chicken coops, so they automatically open when the sun comes up. Like it'll change your life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you won't eat as many cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Because let me tell you, my chickens know how to make cookies. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah. But Beth, what have you been up to other than
that digression happened so naturally that Beth might have got away with not having an update. Wow. Good thing you remembered, Jessica.
So today as I said earlier, I did not get any snow, but as I drove from my house to the office, it was like, no snow, no snow. Here's some snow.
Yeah.
What? Why did you skip my, whatever. It's fine. And Owen is still new at driving. And so Craig said that there might be slush out there. So and he's already a little nervous about driving. So I took him to school this morning, but apparently I would have been fine because the roads were wet, but they weren't icy or anything. But so that was good. But as I was driving Owen to school, Stormy ran out of the house, and sometimes I just go with it. And because when he runs out of the house, he'll jump into the car when he realizes I'm leaving. And so I just let him come to school with me and Owen.
Wow.
And then I was like, if I go home now, I'm going to go back to bed and not want to go to the office. And Mondays is the day I try to go to the office because that's when Miriam goes.
Mm-hmm.
I just drove him to the office with me.
Wow. And
there was kind of a funny mystery that happened that Miriam and I involved both Jeannie and Gloria over. First thing Stormy did when he got to my office was poop in there. And I was like, and I don't turn the heat on that often because I'm always hot, but I was hot that day. And in the warmer room, the smell comes faster.
Whoa.
Like, you little And then,
What do you need cookies for if you have that going on?
I know. So I took him outside when he wanted to go outside later, and he did his business outside, and I went to go collect it. But then there were like three or four other piles of like poop there that were like the size of
really,
but it wasn't his. It was just like there. I was like, I haven't been here very long. There's no, and I've been watching my dog this whole time. There's no way he did all of that. So I went into the office and tell Miriam, I'm like, well, there's more dog poop out there, and it's not Stormy's, but I'm going to go pick it up so they don't think that it is Stormy's.
Right.
And then Miriam was like, let's just go into the office and make sure that Jeannie and Gloria are aware of it. So I was like, yeah, that sounds better than cleaning it up myself. So we talked to Jeannie and Gloria about it. And then this made us laugh so hard. Gloria said, well, I guess we're going to have to go look at the piles. We all marched out and looked at the piles. This wasn't what my update was going to be about, but I still think it's kind of funny. And and we determined that it was not, in fact, Stormy who did it. And so I think Jeannie said it's another dog coming around named Angelica.
What?
The dog's name. And anyway, I'm saving the best for last. Craig got a message this morning from Bob's Furniture saying that our furniture is scheduled to be delivered tomorrow between 12 and 3.
This is so exciting. Yay. Wait, what furniture is it again, Beth?
We got two new couches that have the electric recline, and it even has like USB on the side, and it has a thing that flips down in the middle so you can put your drinks there and stuff. And
wow,
we got a couple end tables and a new coffee table. So I emptied the couches today so Craig and Owen can put them out on the curb tonight. And
tomorrow, did you find anything nice underneath the couches, like treasures?
So what's funny, I will tell you, I don't know why I was like, I am going to tell you, like, in case you thought I was going to avoid the question, I'm going to tell you. I found it's still here because I just put it with a bunch of other magnetic stuff. So I found this magnet that was stuck to the bottom of the couch.
Oh. That's amazing.
And there was a metal thing on the bottom. And this is what it collected when it hit the couch.
Wait, what is that? So a bottle cap and two needles? Or
a bottle cap, yeah. And then these are just sewing needles, which I lose all the time. And what? I can never find them when I need them. So whenever I'm at the craft store, I just buy these yarn needles, whether I need them or not, because I know I won't be able to find the ones that I have. And now I know why. It's because my couch keeps eating them.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that is so interesting. Yeah, that's a lot better than the needles just sprawled about on the carpet. Might as well have them magnetized to a magnet. I mean, my gosh.
Why don't I just keep my needles on a magnet? Because that's too easy.
Wow.
But speaking of things happening tomorrow, I know what else is happening tomorrow.
What's happening
tomorrow?
My book study on the book Boundaries by Dr. Henry Townsend and John Cloud. I mixed their names up again. It's Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. That starts tomorrow, 6:30 to 8:30. Do we have any other updates?
Is it too late to sign up?
No, Tim, I was going to shoot you an email. And you don't actually have to sign up in the lobby. I will just send you an email.
Okay.
Yeah. I know Amber and I had thought about potentially joining late, like after our, labor classes start finished. But
I think, honestly,
But I think there's a better idea that we have.
To not and have a baby instead?
Well, having a baby sounds like a great thing. But I'll let you know during the sermon feedback what I think should happen next.
Okay. So having a baby, is that something you thought about like just on a given afternoon? I'm going to have a baby now, or?
Yeah, I thought about it last week and we're like, let's shoot for end of March. And
oh, okay.
That's what's happening.
Excellent. Good to know.
Yeah. It's a quick process for humans. It just takes 2 months, Tim.
Oh, okay. Today I learned.
But yeah, there is a lot of really fun stuff coming up at the church. And a lot of it's really happening this Saturday on February 1st. So the Quilters and Crafters are meeting from 9 a.m. to noon, which is pretty awesome. Because do you guys still give out free muffins?
No. But if you spread the rumor that we're giving out free muffins, we might start.
Or do we just say pizza? Because last time there was the church kitchen cleanup and everybody got pizza. So maybe we could just say there's going to be pizza from 9 a.m. to noon.
Yeah, I love a good 9 a.m. pizza.
Just from the night
a cup of coffee.
That actually sounds pretty good.
And then also on Saturday, though, at 9 a.m., looks like a slight competition. So maybe the Quilters and Crafters want to bring better snacks. The will be eating at 9 a.m. on Saturday. So for all of you out there, make sure you've got enough gas in your car Friday night. And then on Saturday... The first, there's also from 2 to 4 p.m. Is the memorial service for Bob Brown. I do want to mention this. My condolences to Bob Brown's family. I would like to say, though, growing up in Iowa, there was a Bob Brown Chevrolet, and everybody went to Bob Brown. So,
wow.
Anyways, I saw that name, and I was like, I know that name. But I don't think that it's the same person.
Not the same.
Right, right. Indeed. That's
probably.
That's good for good to share that, though.
Yeah.
Then on the following weekend, on February 9th, Scout Sunday and Pancake Breakfast. So I don't know if anybody attended last year. This is a great breakfast to get some yum yum. I think that's what they should change it to. Yum. Because it's the youth from the Scouts, so youth.
What?
So it's
could just yum. Be young. We could just instead of youth, it's Young United Methodist Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen here. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
But hey, you know, pancakes and yum. Yeah, yum pancakes. You know, they actually have an establishment that I used to drive down and every so often would notice yum yum donuts. So in this case, it's yum yum pancakes.
Yum yum donuts are so yum yum, Tim. They're so good. But yeah, and then just as another reminder, just next Sunday from 3 to 5 in the fellowship/social/friendship hall. Amber and I are throwing a baby shower. So, or my mom's throwing us a baby shower, but we're having a baby shower. So feel free to come hang out with us. We'd love to see ya.
Jessica, the baby shower is when again?
It's on Groundhog's Day from 3 to 5.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. I did want to put the movie Groundhog's Day on the projector, but Amber said no. So just know that
I get it.
The attempt was there.
Good call, Amber.
Yep. That was that was thoughtful.
But we understand.
She said no. But Beth, for the ministry moment, or the Methodist moment, I'd love for you to kind of dive in. Do you want to share a little about boundaries?
But wait. It's the Methodist moment, Methodist moment.
Yeah. My favorite thing, because I forget about it every time until you start doing it.
I do too, and I'm like, wait, what is Tim singing?
Oh,
I know.
I think I'm going to vary it every single time. I'm going to have it sound a little bit different so that people can hear the like.
Totally worth it.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a class, or at the book is called Boundaries, and it's something I've been thinking about for a really long time. The first time I read the book was in 2020 when I was having a lot of trouble dealing with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was scary out there, and I have always had a hard time saying no to people because I want people to like me. And obviously, if I say no to somebody, that means they obviously hate me now.
They take you off their list.
Yeah. And then they never ask me to do anything again.
Yeah, it that's how I felt.
Sounds awesome. But for some reason, my brain thinks that's terrible. You know, like, anyway. So during the pandemic, when everything was happening and everything, you know, like, we don't want to wear masks. And then everyone else was like, we do want to wear masks. And so it was like, I need to, like, make sure I'm protected. Like, I want to be safe. And so I don't know what. I was on Facebook and somebody recommended this book in the comments. And I was like, I'm going to get this book. Mm. So I ordered it and I read it. And like, as soon as I started reading it, not even when I was done, I was like, everybody needs this book. This book is amazing. This book could be so helpful for so many people. And I mean, I still have a lot of work to do and a long way to go.
Yeah.
But I feel like that book was my starting point. And
for sure.
And it was, I mean, I feel like every year I get a little bit better. Like, I'll give you kind of an example. And maybe this is just because my state of mind is different, but during the pandemic, I was absolutely not productive at all. Because I was too scared. I thought everybody was going to die. And I thought I was never going to see my parents again. And I just was so scared. It immobilized me. I couldn't do anything. Yeah. And fast forward to 2025. I'm still scared about what's happening. I'm still scared. But right now, more I'm angry. And angry is where I think I need to be. And I'm not gonna, I'm doing stuff now instead of like letting myself be quiet and scared. And I think that I just feel like now especially is a really good time for this book, because there's people that are going to try to push your boundaries. And the thing is, when you put up your boundaries, people are still going to push your boundaries, but
that's true.
But you need to stand firm on your boundaries, because I've said this before on the podcast about boundaries, but the boundaries that you set are not actually for the other person. They're for you.
Yeah. Yes.
If the other person is acting a mess, that's on them. What do you do if you set the boundary and they're still, you know, trying to push back?
Murder.
Wait. Exactly. Yep. Straight to murder.
No.
You repeat the boundary. You reinforce the boundary again. You say, this is the boundary I've set. Please respect it. And and if they don't, that's on them. That's not on you. And I've found that every time I have to assert boundaries for myself or advocate for myself, When I first started to speak up for myself more and decide I wasn't going to let people take advantage of me anymore, it was scary. The first time I had to like talk to somebody and say, next time, don't do that or do it this way. I went into my car and cried after, because
I was
proud of me, but also like I'm not used to just telling people, this is what I need. Can you please respect this? And what I'm finding is each time I advocate for myself, or each time I talk about what I need or a boundary that I need to set, it gets easier. And I don't feel like people hate me as much. In fact, it's like, I mean, I feel like that feeling's probably going to be there a little bit for, but it's not screaming at me anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me go cry in my car. I can, you know, place the boundary and then feel bad for a little bit, but I can still tell myself, this is for you and this is what you need. And so it's gotten a lot easier. And I want that for other people. I want that for everybody. I want all of us to be able to speak up for ourselves. And if we're being taken advantage of, or, you know, not being treated fairly, that person isn't going to eventually realize it and on their own. I mean, maybe, hopefully, if you're lucky, but that's how life works. So if you don't like that behavior, you need to be the one to change it.
You know?
It's a form of respect for yourself.
Right. You
know? That's ultimately what it is. And I think people find, I don't know, when somebody, you know, has verbalized their boundaries and I'm hearing it, not like, you know, where I'm doing something negative and they're like, stop doing that. You know? Not like that kind of matter, but just like asserting like, no, this is actually how I'm going to do things. You know, like this is
how
I operate.
Right.
I find it to be really kind of like strong and powerful. And I think it's like a leadership quality in somebody if they're able to really adhere to those boundaries and and vocalize that, like, no, this is how I work. This is what I need.
Yeah.
What I need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's kind of like taking the emotion out of that, you know, like you're telling somebody that in a calm way, you're not yelling at them. You're not having a meltdown about it. You say, hey, thanks for trying to help with this, but this is the way I do it. And this is the way it's going to be done. And
Exactly. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yesterday, I think it was, this is kind of an extreme example, but it's worth mentioning. My mom was like, hey, I want you to watch this. And it was The Dog Whisperer. And there was a dog that was like really acting aggressive towards their owners. And they didn't know what to do about it. And Cesar Millan was like, what you got to do is you have to assert your dominance and act in a calm, assertive manner. And so that's essentially what you're doing when you have boundaries. You're acting calm and assertive. And I think by doing that, people get the people that respect you will get that message. And they will actually appreciate that you're being assertive with them and you're not being aggressive. And you're also letting them know how you feel and think about things. Because in reality, if you don't do that, you're actually not only disrespecting yourself, but you're disrespecting the other person unknowingly, because you're kind of like cheating yourself. And by cheating yourself, you're doing the same thing to them. They're seeing a disingenuous version of yourself because you're not able to be assertive and you're not able to like show that level of respect for yourself. So, like the people that actually respect you are going to stick around despite the fact that you're like bringing forth those boundaries to protect yourself. Everybody else, they're not meant to be in your life anyway. So it's okay. If you like have those boundaries, you know?
Exactly. The people that love you and respect you are going to stay and respect your boundaries, but the ones that don't, maybe don't need to be in your life.
Right.
So this is why you should join
this
book club on boundaries.
We just had the first class right now.
The slogan is treat them like your dog.
As long as your dog, you love your dog, treat them like
If you love your dog, then You know, just you just think about your dog. You know, I'm treating my dog in a calm, assertive manner. You do the same thing with everybody else. So
I do like to think that dog training is like therapy for dogs, because it's like what we need to teach to be safe. And
Right. Well, actually, it's kind of like therapy for humans, too, because
I think it is. Yeah, it's therapy. It's not training the dogs. It's training the human is what it is.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So. Well, looking forward to hearing all the positivity around that, Beth. And I'd love for us to go ahead and dive into sermon feedback, because this past Sunday was legit when it comes to sermons off the rails. So we're gonna dive into the second and the last of Pastor Jim's Imperfectly You sermon series. Now, when I first saw the title of this last sermon, I looked at Amber and said, is he gonna sing Celine Dion? The title of the sermon is The Power of Love. And if you don't know me, I thoroughly enjoy Celine Dion. So anyways, the Bible verse that we went through was a few verses, came from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And gosh, I mean, it was like, I kept on taking notes on my phone just over and over. And I was like, man, I was actually looking for a book of the Bible to start doing a devotion in. And I'm like, yep, gonna do Ephesians. I like Ephesians.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm definitely gonna go through that one. But yeah, this past Sunday, it was like, I don't know, I think it definitely hit home in a lot of different areas for me. And I think everybody, doesn't matter who you are, always struggles with their belief in feeling worthy enough or feeling like they're good enough and all those things. And it's interesting because he was talking about all that. And I started thinking about when I was in high school, and I was trying to come to terms with like my own sexuality. And I remember writing a song called Worthy.
Wow.
And I was just literally like, am I worthy for the kingdom to come? Am I a child of the Holy One? Will I ever see you as you are? Will I be wishing upon a distant star? And just feeling like I was not going to be good enough because I was gay, and hoping that I could be God's child one day, you know, like, is this possible for me? Am I worthy enough? And at the end of the day, you know, it's grace that has made me saved. You know, we don't deserve it. Yet God's grace still comes to us, and we just have to be open to receiving it. So many awesome one-liners and quotes and stuff. But before I kind of dive any further, does anybody else have anything that they kind of thought about or anything that really hit home for them this past Sunday?
Yeah, for sure. So, the first thing before I say anything is, I think that's wonderful, Jessica, that you found that you were still worthy in the eyes of God, despite everything, despite your sexuality, despite who you are, who you were at that time and who you are now. I think that's really amazing that you were able to discover that. So that's really cool. I'm glad you shared that. But what I wanted to say is, I think that this sermon is like one of my favorite, if not my favorite sermons from Pastor Jim. I felt so inspired by it that I think I'm going to start like a tier list of like sermons that I think are like my favorite out of all the sermons that Pastor Jim does. And I'm just going to like put it all on a list. Like, and I just want to re-listen to this sermon more, like I listened to it twice now, and I ran out of time, of course, so I listened to it the second time at 2x speed, just to get the refresher. But yeah, it was just a monumental achievement of, like, basically kind of celebrating human beings, and like the fact that we're made in God's image. And yeah, it's through God's grace that we, you know, despite our imperfections, we're still worthy of love. We're still worthy of God's love. We're worthy of all sorts of experiences in life. We can, like, have love and belonging. I thought that was a really interesting connection that Pastor Jim brought up about how love and belonging has a lot to do with, like, our feeling of worthiness. I think that is absolutely true. And particularly this hit really close to home for me, like, perfect timing, speaking about perfection, because, like, so last week I was saying how I was, like, plagued with doubt, and I was just, I felt like I was doubting everything about myself. Surprisingly, I wasn't doubting my faith in God. I felt like my faith in God was like the strongest thing, about myself at that moment. But it took me a few days. I think I prayed to God multiple times about this, and, I think it was like a Thursday or something like that. I was like, maybe the problem is I'm just, like, lacking faith in myself. Like, I'm not believing in myself and, like, my abilities and everything like that. And so it's just, like, amazing that Pastor Jim, like had this sermon content, like, just, like, considering that realization about myself. And so, yeah, it's like the whole problem was that I just felt like I wasn't worthy for something. Like, the fact that I had doubt like that indicated that I was just, like, not validating my own experience, like, not, like, I wasn't worthy enough for life or something like that. So yeah, it's just really incredible. And I probably did feel some sense of shame about all sorts of stuff. Like, probably I felt shame about, like, who I am as a person, in the sense that I'm always, like, thinking about stuff and questioning, and I always have to, like, have some, like, idea about things that could be unconventional compared to other people. Like, I feel like maybe I'm, like, weird or something, and, like, I'm not acceptable to other people because of that. Like maybe just this deep-seated sort of subconscious shame. But that now I think it's been completely, I've been liberated from it because of just thinking about, like, that, like, God loves me, and I'm worthy, and I can believe in myself, and I can love myself. Like Pastor Jim was saying, you know, you have love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love yourself. And maybe that's where I need to focus now. It's like loving myself. And that this was just a big, like inspiration to me, what Pastor Jim shared. So maybe that's where I need to be focusing more. I mean, of course, all the other things that I'm trying to improve about myself, but focusing on loving myself, and then I can love my neighbor, and then I can love God, and just all those things come together, and just, like, it's a beautiful thing. So I love Pastor Jim's sermon here this past Sunday.
You're no longer doubting Timis.
Tim?
Yeah, right.
Tim, I'm going to recommend this book to you again.
Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a link.
Okay.
I'm reading this with my mom right now. We both have ADHD. And, well, I found out Owen had ADHD, and then I realized his symptoms were my symptoms. Mm-hmm. And then I realized my symptoms were my mom's symptoms. And then there was a point where I was just diagnosing everybody. I diagnosed Pastor John at one point.
I know. And I was diagnosed. So
yeah, I was right. Like, really well. I think. Anyway, I was just like, these people I've been drawn to like a moth to a flame, maybe they're also like me. Anyway.
Wow.
So this book, I was reading it today because we meet on Mondays to talk about it. And I actually thought I maybe wanted to start reading it over again just to highlight how many times it mentioned shame or said shame in it.
Wow. And
there was a really good quote that I was like, I don't need to highlight this. I'll remember it.
Yeah.
Now I can't find it. But Tim, this is in the symptom 5 chapter,
which okay.
struggles with cleaning the house. And but this doesn't even have to pertain to house cleaning. This could pertain to anything. I'm going to read
right. Okay.
For awesome. Suggestions to help. It says, let go of the shame. Because this is how I sometimes talk to myself and I don't like it. I'm trying not to anymore. You are not a disgusting, awful human being. You do not deserve to be bullied by others or by yourself. No one can hate themselves into a version of themselves that they like. It doesn't work like that. Self-shaming only leads to lower self-belief and worse conditions. It's time to show kindness and compassion to yourself and learn to understand why you struggle with
wow.
fill in the blank here, but this says cleaning.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a really, really good book.
Yeah. That's a really amazing insight. Like, yeah. Like, hating certain things about yourself or yeah. feeling shameful about certain things about yourself. It's like, that's not going to make you feel better and no. it's not going to make you function better.
Tim, did it magically make my house clean and make me, you know, stay on top of my laundry? No, it didn't. But right. I didn't keep myself up as much about it because in another book that I read, it's called How to Keep House While Drowning, and it's for people with ADHD or depression or whatever might prohibit them from keeping a clean house. Mm-hmm. It said that cleaning is morally neutral.
Right, right, which exactly.
means if you're not good at cleaning, that doesn't mean you're a bad person, because cleaning doesn't have a good or bad. It's just a thing.
Yeah. You
know? So yeah. you're That's not great. Good at it. That doesn't mean you're not good. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, good days and bad days, but you know, where I am a little bit more negative on myself. And I'm also really good at telling everybody else, like, hey, be nice to yourself. Don't talk to yourself that way. And mm-hmm. And then I have a trouble following. I'm getting better, which is good. And I just had a conversation with Owen today, who was being really hard on himself for a lot of stuff. And I'm like, you need to be nicer to yourself because you're a good kid and you deserve to be loved.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I could just absolutely. Call Owen and just tell him that every day.
Can you please? Can you?
Because, like, I think Owen's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Owen has such a cool personality.
I mean, I'm supposed to think that he's awesome, but
he's just got this, like, super chill, suave, like, yeah. style about him. He's just like, I don't care what people think. I'm cool. Like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's easy to talk to. Like, you know, he can talk to kids and adults alike. I know I'm biased, but I do think he's a good kid.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, the thing that I noticed about Owen is I hadn't seen him in like a few months or something like yeah. that. And yeah. I just saw him at a messy church and we had a conversation like we hadn't even stopped talking. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
was just really natural. It was cool. Uh-huh.
Oh, speaking of children, one of the Sunday school kids was asking about you, Tim.
Oh, wow.
Asking if you were going to be there. And so.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I could show up one of these days to yeah. Sunday school so that I could say hello.
Sounds like you're going to have to.
Yeah, I think yeah. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's Justin. Tim's the new Sunday school teacher. Beth goes on vacation. Never comes back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, you had more to share though, Jessica.
Yeah, there was a few things. I just want to share some quotes and stuff, but I also want to talk about what I think, you know, what I mentioned earlier in the updates and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to share a quick quote from the book by Brené Brown, the Imperfection book. She says, here's what's at the heart of wholeheartedness. Worthy now, not if, not when. We are worthy of love and belonging now, right this minute, as is. And then I was like, oh my gosh, somebody should do a book study on Brené's book.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That would be really cool, is, you know, because I know we only dove into 2 weeks of this sermon, but it was focused around that book. And so I'm like, what if Beth decided she wanted to do, I'm gonna do this?
I did buy the book.
If the church offered this, come spring, I think we would definitely be open to it.
Yeah.
I have a baby come spring.
Yeah, but like Zoom, like
Jessica, you can do it.
Jessica.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'll tell you, you're not gonna want to do anything. just keep that time open is all I'm saying. Don't make any immediate plans.
But and then there was, I feel like I made this up, but I think this is right with the laws. I need to go back and count. It is correct. Okay. Jesus was asked which of the 613 laws in the Hebrew scriptures was most important. He cited two: love mm-hmm. God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself. So this is what Tim was saying. Sometimes the hardest part tends to be the loving yourself part. So I really, really like that.
Yeah.
And then the by grace you have been saved. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. Yet God's grace still comes to us. But we have to be open to receiving it. We are worthy because of God's love. Our worthiness has nothing to do with our actions. We must let go of the idea that we have to prove something to ourselves or to God to be worthy of that love. It is the gift of God. So it's like Christmas every day, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the grace is a gift, a free gift, and there's no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's incredible.
Thing, I know what it was. Anyway, I was like, what? Where's this book come from? It's the Bible.
yeah.
That reminds me of the song. Is it the reckless love of God?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like
all the
overwhelming reckless love of God. Yeah.
But it goes, I didn't earn it. I don't deserve this. Still, you give yourself to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful.
I get that song stuck in my head a lot. And
yeah.
And I think it just pops in there probably when I need it sometimes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. The last one, the last verse that I wrote down to remember, and then in parentheses I put imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we talked about this last week, I think.
Oh. Yeah, I think we did.
But oh, yeah, we did.
Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if we're feeling like we have imposter syndrome, just remember, God prepared in advance for us to do what we're doing.
Yeah, right. So
we're meant to be where we are, you know?
Yeah.
Is it Switchfoot who said, we are meant for so much more. What is it? How does that song go?
It was Taylor Swift is what you're thinking of.
It's Taylor and Swift. It was,
you belong with me.
Oh, meant to live. How does it go?
I don't know.
We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves somewhere we live inside?
Yeah.
we were meant to live for so much more. That's how that one goes.
Right. Anyway, and now I'm never going to think of the Taylor Swift You Belong With Me song the same way again.
It's basically Taylor Switchfoot. So, Taylor Switchfoot. Yeah. But those were all of the names.
Sorry, Jessica.
No, that's funny.
I started.
But building upon that. Yeah, it's like God's grace is his gift. God's grace is just, it's hard to even put into words how like amazing and special that is. Yeah. Like we can think about, like we've been given God's grace, and if we have gratitude for that gift every day, then shame can be eradicated every day. And or just not even like that, I think just knowing that we have God's grace, like reminding ourselves of that, can take away our shame. But just knowing that we have it, we might not even have to remind ourselves of that gift sometimes, because it's kind of like how the Holy Spirit like dwells within us. It's like that and then God's grace, we can feel like every day is special and every day is beautiful, and we can like show love to ourselves and our neighbor, and we can put love for God with everything that we have, and it's just like a really special gift. And, you know, we're made in God's image, and, you know, it's just, the whole thing is so beautiful. And like, if there's any like moment in my faith journey that I can say is like one of the most profound, I think it's like just the realization associated with the content in this sermon, and just like, how we are worthy in God's eyes, no matter what, no matter what our actions are, no matter what we're doing, like we're children of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the hardest part is when it comes to loving our enemies as ourself, and linking up how we're not worthy and it's by grace that we've been saved and all these things. I think it's hard for a lot of Christians to love our neighbors and remember that God also saved them and that God also gives them grace. I think that's the hardest part for a lot of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that was one area where I was like, I'm going to skip over that in my mind. Just going to focus on.
Yeah.
That sounds way too difficult to think about. I'm just going to
work on myself first, and then I'll work on being nice to others.
Yeah.
I'm going to be selfish for, you know, like I'd prefer to just focus on myself, and then the enemies can kind of like figure
it out. Right. Yeah. It's like the enemies. What? I'd rather sell all my possessions than,
Hold on. Working on myself means also being nice to others. Dang it.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
I guess I'll just stop working on myself then.
I'll be home all day today.
That's a tough one. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I want to play video games all day, you know, to show love to myself, show love to other people too. That's a big ask right there. No.
Yeah.
But no, actually that I am. Jessica, I'm really glad you kind of brought that full circle, right? So it's like maybe it's easier for us to love God and love ourselves, but maybe not so to bring that love to our neighbor. Or it can go a different way. Like it's easy for us to love God and love our neighbor, but not ourselves. Like Pastor Jim brought up, or maybe we might find ourselves struggling with our relationship with God. You know, what we like continuing to remind ourselves of our love for God. So I think if we could do all those three things, those two commandments, it captures all three types of love, right? If we can have all those types of love, then it's like we're complete as human beings or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
I was thinking when I was little, I never understood like love your neighbor as yourself. Cause like in my literal brain, I was like, well, what if you don't love yourself? And it was a rhetorical question, a hypothetical question when I was a kid, but I've just answered it now and it's eye opening.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what's happening. I think a lot of the hate that is out there is because people have trouble accepting themselves.
Yeah.
I agree.
I totally agree with that.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So, and you know, something strange occurred with language for me. Like just normal words and so forth just happened to be, you know, how in the culture we have words like self-care and self-love and so forth. Like those words, self-care and self-love, actually became meaningless to me at some point. Like, oh yeah, you do this for the sake of self-love or you do this for the sake of self-care. But like, I never actually made the connection that the whole point of self-love and self-care is to actually care about yourself or actually love yourself. Not just something that you're doing for the sake of self-love or self-care, but actually having that deeper level of like understanding for yourself and respect for yourself to actually love yourself, you know?
And sometimes it's not going out and getting your nails done. It's going out and taking a walk or it's taking that shower that you couldn't bring yourself to take the day before or whatever. It's
right.
There's lots of different ways of self-care. And I think the reason it did kind of become meaningless is because we just all decided that self-care was getting our nails done or buying ourselves a coffee or having a shopping spree. But sometimes self-care should actually look like literally caring for yourself, like doing kindnesses to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah,
some people think that they don't they can't afford self-love in some ways.
Right.
You know, going off of getting your nails done or whatever, but it's very simple things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like so you get what you have the actions, and then you want to have meaning behind all of that, and not just doing it like to just I don't know. I guess we kind of lose track of what we're doing sometimes, whether it's like spending time with others, spending time by ourselves, or spending time with God. We kind of like lose track of what it is that we're actually doing that for. Like we could be spending time with our family members and not even be present in that moment because we're so caught up in like just stress of our life and or something. Like just any sort of like thoughts or feelings could be so distracting that we just completely forget like the whole point is love and caring about ourselves and other people and God. I mean, life is crazy, you know, but we're imperfect, but we're still worthy of like having an enriched experience in life and love. We're worthy of that, despite being imperfect and having those moments.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that just because I said self-care doesn't always look like painting your nails or, you know, getting your hair done, that doesn't mean that those still aren't self-care, like for some
people. Right.
You can still use those, but sometimes it's more than that is all I'm trying to say.
We've got some bougie Methodists out there that
I'm drunk right now. Just Owen just came home and heard me say that on my church podcast. So it's fine.
So I wanna like as far as being imperfect, I wanna like confess that regarding my shame, I think I feel shame in regards to like procrastinating on stuff. Like I actually feel shame about that. And then something else I feel shame about is like a fear of missing out in a way that I can't just like read a whole bunch of books without feeling like somebody's going to disapprove of me for doing that. So I think that I just need to accept those mm-hmm. parts of myself and be okay that I might be imperfect in those ways, that I might just follow after somebody wanting me to do something, and I might procrastinate on something when it was really like a totally bad idea. And that's okay, because eventually I'll do something else and I won't necessarily do those things anymore. I won't necessarily procrastinate as much. And then I won't necessarily follow after people telling me to do things. I'll actually, that's kind of what I wanted to mention.
Well, thanks for sharing, Tim. Appreciate you being vulnerable and opening up.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, I think we can all agree that this past Sunday sermon was, like I said, it was just legit.
Monumental. Fantastic.
It definitely made Tim's top two.
I would even venture to say that it was imperfectly perfect.
True. Yes. Yes.
Or I didn't want to say perfectly imperfect because I wanted it to end with perfect.
Oh, okay. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's go ahead and dive into some prayer requests. Is there anything that we can pray for you guys about? Are you guys just good?
I have no issues.
I almost feel like that whole sermon feedback was a prayer or something.
Yeah, you know? It kind of was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really felt so moving, emotionally, cathartic or just immensely therapeutic.
Yeah.
I guess I can go, and that's just continued prayers for my friend Rye. He's doing better in the care facility, but he and I are keeping in touch, and so hoping that he can recover soon. Like they say, a month, that would be awesome if we could recover in a month. So,
yeah.
And then a prayer for me to, I guess, just kind of following after our sermon feedback here, to love myself and try not to feel shame in regards to things that I don't have to feel shame about. And then also for me to make those decisions that I need to make to prioritize important things. So to read that book, I think, would be fantastic. But a prayer for me to just have confidence in my decision making. And then maybe, just maybe, that will help me focus better. So, yeah.
We shall be praying for you, Tim.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Beth, anything?
Yes. First of all, I mentioned that Owen's kind of having a rough time and having some negative self-talk. It's just regular teenage relationship stuff. But
yeah.
My dogs just started barking. You can't hear them, but I can. It's a lot and I hate it. But yeah, just prayers for everybody who might need some more positive self-talk in their lives.
Oh, thanks, Beth.
And also I'd like to extend prayers to Don Morris, whose dad passed away a couple weeks ago. And
Definitely.
Chat with him on Sunday to let him know we've been praying for him and his family. But you know what he does? He goes straight to that sound.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would do. There's so many times when I have a thing and people want to talk to me afterwards and I'm out of there. You can't find me.
One of these days I'm going to find you, Beth.
No. I'm usually in the friendship hall, but.
Well, yeah.
Jessica, prayers.
But yeah, thanks for sharing that, Beth. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
I guess just prayers for us. You know, we're in the end zone of the pregnancy, no pun intended, for Super Bowl coming up. But, you know, it's like I said earlier in the 5-minute update, I just, you know, it's funny because we've been doing these labor classes and last week was like, whoa, so many different things to anticipate with labor. I was like, yeah, I'm terrified of this thing. I don't know how this thing's going to get out of me, but okay. And it was kind of like, oh boy. But the fact that any talk of like, all right, so we're 8 weeks out. We got to start, you know, being mindful. We want to keep our eye out for any preeclampsia symptoms, that kind of stuff. It really, really did make me nervous. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess I really do want to experience labor. I would prefer to not have, you know, a preterm child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I guess I didn't realize how much I had put in my head the fact that I really do want to experience all of the labor craziness and lack of sleep and sweating and, you know, feeling horrible for 3 days. I don't know, who knows, but I don't know. It just kind of, it did freak me out. And I, you know, got emotional with Amber, 'cause I just was like, this will likely be my only pregnancy that I ever have, because Amber's next and I want her to have twins and then we can have three kids and call it. Yeah. So
I'm praying for 8 of them at one time.
And then we can have our own DLC show.
Yeah.
And then Methodist to the Madness is going to have at least 7 billion listeners.
Wow. And most of them will be your kids.
Well, oh, that's amazing. Anyways, but so yeah, this past Sunday was really just, I was in prayer of releasing my fears and my, just everything to God, that I just want this to be, you know, the most perfectly imperfect, you know, situation that he already knows what's going to happen. And, but I want to be able to find peace with no matter what happens. And like I said, you know, we're in the end zone. I'm literally 31 weeks now, 31 weeks pregnant, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's my ultimate prayer. And then I do want to pray for Amber, because she's now going to have to, like, there's things that I'm just not able to do anymore. And mm-hmm. she's having to pick up a lot of slack. So,
wow. Yeah.
You know, prayers for her, because she's a teacher as well. So she already does 7,000 things a day. And so.
Is there anything that could be outsourced to other people, like your friends Tim and Beth?
Yeah,
I mean, I could ask her.
Ask her.
Yeah, I'm definitely willing to.
See. I could come by.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain times, you know, like when I go into work and when I come home, there's certain times where I definitely need her, because I need her to take my shoes off.
Yeah.
every day she can't make it, Beth. I'm gonna.
You know, Owen and I like maybe like twice a week or something, just come and help feed the animals.
I mean, it's possible.
I would love to talk off camera. Yeah. I would love to help.
Yeah, we're here for
day.
You.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just volunteered Owen to help, even though
Owen's like, mom, literally, come on. Anyways, but yeah, so prayers for Amber to, because she's also, while this is my suffering, it is now hers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jessica. Yeah. Prayers for you and Amber. And honestly, I'm really excited, Jessica, about your like having a baby. Like, that's just like really cool. I can't wait.
It's very exciting. I want to know how much hair this thing's going to have on its head, or if there's no hair whatsoever and it's a bald baby.
Well, wait a minute. Like, what is the hair color going to be on your baby? I mean,
well, that's
in the world
thing is, like, when I was born, I had so much dark brown hair, and our donor has really thick, dark, curly-ish hair.
Oh.
And so, I don't know. I mean, in his baby pictures, he had a good amount of hair on his head. So this could go.
You got to see his baby pictures?
Yes, he shared those with us.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That's fascinating.
That's that's like just like the ultimate like personal baby shopping experience.
This is what my baby pictures look like.
You don't get that from like a sperm bank type situation. That's really cool.
And here's my genetic testing background. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And so you're not just looking at a number like in a file. Yeah.
Right. Right. That's cool. But
wow.
So yeah.
Lots of exciting things. That's so neat.
Yeah.
We're very, very excited. So, but anyway, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week. But
yeah. We'll see what next week holds. Now that we've just been like had such an amazing experience with this this past sermon here, like I think we're just all changed again. You know how Christ changed us? Maybe we're changed again now, knowing that we're worthy in God's eyes.
So it's like I always say, I've said it at least twice. If you're not constantly changing and evolving, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're changing.
I'm thinking of
the Bridesmaids
where they have a conversation. They get
back. I love that scene.
That's funny.
Oh, anyway, my God.
Well, with that being said,
stay mad, you Methodists.
Stay mad.
We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.